Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Acts chapter 19. We need to get started here. Acts chapter 19, we're in verses 11 through 20, and we'll look at some supporting verses tonight. But I want to talk to you about a reverse exorcism. A reverse exorcism. Now, I know some of you all are old enough to remember the blockbuster movie that came out called The Exorcist, starring Linda Blair. That's right. And, of course, you remember the plot in that movie had to do with several Catholic priests trying to perform an exorcism on this young demon-possessed lady. And the girl was possessed by a powerful demon. It took all the powers of heaven to exorcise the demons from that young lady. But in our passage for the evening, we have another exorcism taking place. A reverse exorcism. So let's look at verse 11, Acts 19. Now God worked. Now, you remember on Wednesday nights we're learning how to study our Bibles. And you're looking for key terms and words. Here's one right here. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them. And the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house, naked and wounded. Can't you just hear that demon shout, "Who are you? Who are you? Who's your daddy?" You know? And verse 17, "This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." You telling me the Holy Spirit's not at work in this passage? "And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." Whew, mercy. Craig, ask God to bless the word tonight.
Would you?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this marvelous church that you've gone to.
Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we just ask that you be with Brother Calvin as he brings us this message.
Yes.
And Lord, help us take this message into the unchurched community of God. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you, we honor you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. These things, Lord, we ask in your holy name.
Amen. Thank you. First thing we see in verses 11 and 12 are powerful miracles. Say that with me. Powerful miracles. How many of you know God has not changed? God is still able to perform powerful miracles. How many of you have received a powerful miracle from the Lord Jesus? If you're born again, every single one of you have received a powerful miracle from the Lord. That's the greatest miracle that He does, is change up. Oh, hell-bound sinner's heart, and give him the heart of the Lord Jesus. I wish I had. Well, I could preach on that tonight, but that's not what we're at, where we are. So let me just talk first of all about these powerful miracles. Now, you do need to know the setting of this story, of this passage of Scripture takes place where? In Ephesus. And y'all, Ephesus was one of the great cities of the ancient world. Paul spent 3 years in this city after founding the church there in Ephesus. And Ephesus was kind of a marketplace in Asia Minor. Folks came there as a gathering place. Some called it the Vanity Fair of Asia Minor. She was the center of Roman culture. She was known for several things. Commerce, a lot of trade took place in Ephesus. She was known for the Greek Games. Y'all ever heard of the Olympics? Well, that's what they had there in Ephesus. And then she was known for her what we would call Supreme Court trials. How many of you are following the trials today? Don't answer that. And then she was known for the Temple of Diana. Ephesus was also under an unbelievable satanic grip. She was involved in pagan superstition, the occult, sorcery, witchcraft, casting spells. You could buy magic parchments and potions in Ephesus. I mean, it was an unbelievable place. And this is the atmosphere that the Apostle Paul ministered in. And we think we've got issues. I mean, man, it was a powerful place to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's look at these powerful miracles. The Word of God calls these unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, one of the ministries that the Apostle Paul had was the ministry of miracles. And Luke describes these particular miracles as what? Unusual. Unusual. That's an understatement. Look again at verse 12. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body. Whose body? Paul's body. To the sick, and the diseases left them. Who is them? Hadn't you always wanted to know who them is? Well, left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, the word unusual is an understatement. One of the proofs of being an apostle in those days was the ability to do miracles. And I want to tell you, Paul did not get the short end of the stick. He was able to do unusual miracles because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was working mightily through the Apostle Paul. And notice that it's also taking place in this pagan city of demonic oppression and occult worship. What would happen was that the people would take a cloth, a handkerchief, an apron, some sweatbands or a headband around the Apostle Paul, and they would take that piece of material and that had been touched or worn by Paul and take it to the sick for healing. Now, when these people touched the cloth that Paul had worn or that Paul had used in some way, immediately and miraculously they were healed of their sickness and their diseases. No need to go get a doctor. No need to head to the clinic. No need to go down to the hospital. No need to go to the pharmacist. I mean, all you needed to do was get one of Paul's handkerchiefs. Now, let me say this. I am not advocating tonight that you send somebody some money so you can get a prayer cloth, okay? Hello? Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Okay. you know, but there was no need to get a doctor. If you had the Apostle Paul around somewhere and some kind of material that he had touched, all you had to do was get your hands on that. And as soon as it touched those who were sick or diseased, they got well. I mean, it didn't matter whether you were coughing or it was cancer. It didn't matter whether it was angina or arthritis. Didn't matter if it was lupus or leprosy, toothaches or tummy aches, I mean mumps or measles. It didn't matter. The Holy Spirit was setting people free from sickness and disease through the Apostle Paul. And these miracles are very reminiscent of the healing ministry of the Lord Jesus. If you got your Bible tonight, look at Luke chapter 8. I want you to look at this, man. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Look at this, verse 43. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, she'd been dealing with this issue, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. Do you get the gravity of her situation? Yes. Came from behind and touched the border. That means the hem, the bottom of his garment. And immediately, her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out of me." And so you see the same type of unusual, miraculous things happening in the Lord's ministry as well. And then, you know, I got to thinking about Peter's ministry, and that's over here in Acts chapter 5. Look at it. Acts chapter 5, look at verse 15. Let's back up to verse 14. Acts 5, 14. "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." Not some of them, all of them. And so you've got these unusual miracles taking place. Evil spirits were also being exorcised. And the Apostle Paul was demonstrating the power, the healing power of Almighty God right in the middle of Satan's territory. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And these miracles opened the door for the hearing of the gospel. It gave Paul a standing. You think these Ephesians would have listened to anything Paul said had it not been for these miraculous things? Well, I think that's what God's doing here. They gave positive proof that God was working through Paul and that his message was something that they all needed to hear. And so, having said all of that, again, let me caution you about buying one of these. Unless, of course, you want to write me a check tonight. It's okay to laugh in church, y'all. It really is. And so you see the miraculous happening so that Paul can get an opportunity to get a shot at their heart with the gospel. Are y'all with me now? So you got powerful, miraculous things going on with the Apostle Paul. And so now there's a shift in this narrative. And I want you to see there's now some powerless exorcists. Look at verse 13. "Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.' Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so." Now, there are a lot of people in those days in Ephesus under the influence of evil spirits. and demonic possession. Now, having said that, I've got to say this. If you are a believer, if you are a Christ follower, you cannot be possessed by the demonic. Why is that? Yeah, you've got the possession of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, you can't have both of those. Now, if you're a believer, how many of you understand why you may not be demon-possessed? You might be demon-oppressed. If you don't get that, man, I fear for you. The devil loves to oppress God's people. But let me say this. The only right, the only power, the only authority that the devil has over us is that which we allow him to have. You go read Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. Read it. I mean, we've got the most powerful force in the universe. We have the Holy Spirit. And he's not a force, he's a personality. He's real. And he can give you victory over the demonic and over temptation and over everything else. And so you've got demonic possession and oppression going on during Bible times. And I want to tell you, exorcism had gotten to be a big business in those days. Y'all do know people make money off stuff like that, don't you? I don't know if I ought to tell y'all this or not. I've already said it now, hadn't I? A few weeks ago, and I'm not going to tell you who it was, but if I mentioned their name, you would immediately know them. And they said, Brother Cal, I was looking at my horoscope. And I said, I didn't even let her finish. I said, what? You were looking at what? She said, I was looking at my horoscope, and it didn't have any really some good news for me. And I said, let me tell you something. The reason it doesn't have any good news for you is because it is a horror scope. What you need to be reading and studying is your Bible. Right? But people still look at this kind of stuff. And they still take it. Oh, you know what? I need to hear this stuff. No. And so you got this exorcism and the demonic stuff going on in Ephesus. And there's this wandering crowd of Jews that travel from town to town casting out demons. Now, the thinking was that if you invoked the name of a powerful person or a powerful spirit and applied a few Jewish incantations and spoken formula, then it was possible to run the evil spirit away. And so you've got these itinerant Jewish exorcists that are flowing and going from town to town. And all of this was done, of course, for what? A fee. And then oftentimes the names of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and King David, King Solomon would be thrown out there and used, mixed in with a bunch of chanting and ranting and raving. And these Jewish exorcists, they've been studying, they've been watching this Apostle Paul exorcise demons in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so since Paul's incantations and spells and all that seemed to work, guess what they decided to try? Same thing. Now, you've got this particular group who claimed to have these same powers, these seven sons of a Jewish priest who went by the name of Sceva. And these fellows were about to learn that the name of Jesus is no magical charm to play around with. Now, having said that, I do want to say there is something about that name. There is something about that name, but it doesn't have anything to do with sorcery and witchcraft and all that stuff, okay? And so the problem was when they brought up the name of Jesus, they brought up somebody they didn't know. I heard a boy in high school praying one day, Kevin, up in our lounge. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying. I said, you better talk to somebody you know. This was 40 years ago, and he reminded me of that a few months ago. Shan, if I told you who it was, you'd know exactly who we were talking about. So anyways, look at verse 15. And the also, excuse me, verse 15. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? See, they had said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, whom Paul knows, we command you to come out. Now, they were trying rituals without relationships. Amazingly, these men could fool the folks in Ephesus, but they couldn't fool the demon that they're trying to cast out. They shouted, we exercise by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. To which the evil spirit said, well, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Now, this is very interesting, the language here. The first word know is the word gnosko, which means an experiential knowledge. It's the same word that Paul uses over there in Philippians. You know, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his... That intimacy, that growing, that relationship type of knowing, that experiential knowledge. That's the first word they said. The first word, no, speaks of experience or not. And then the demons understood and knew who Jesus was. Y'all do know that, don't you? The demons know who Jesus is. They know He's the Son of God. Matter of fact, James chapter 2 and verse 19 reveals that even the demons believe and tremble. So the next time you hear somebody say, well, I believe in God, say, great, even the demons do. We're talking about experiential knowledge. Do you know Him? Do you have a relationship with Him? So all they did was cast His name, throw His name out in order to cast this demon out of him. And the second no has to do with the respect. Jesus, I know. I've experienced. And Paul, I know. I respect Paul. You know what that tells me? These demons had been hanging around Paul. They'd been watching him. They'd been studying him. And they knew he was a spirit-filled believer. And these demons respected his power. They were almost as afraid of Paul as they were Paul's master. Boy, that is. That's a good word for us tonight. Do the demons look at, oh no, here comes that Carol Walker again. And they tremble and shudder. You know? Really, that's... that. Oh, have mercy. But they ought to know who we are, right? Oh, no, here comes Cindy Lee again. I mean, she's Greg's master, you know? Yeah. And so they're almost... afraid of Paul as they are of the Lord Jesus. That word, no, speaks of respect. And so this powerful demon wasn't about to give anything up to these seven charlatans. And so they had no power over him at all. Look at verse 16. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was... Well, listen to what he did. He leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Have you got that picture? These exorcists didn't have any power at all over this demon and over this man. He turned on these men with a vengeance. He leaped on them like a lion, tore them from limb to limb, ripped their clothes off and sent them out, bruised and bleeding, running out of the house naked, fleeing for their very lives, shouting, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? You Duke basketball fans remember them chanting, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Remember that? Well, that's the picture that we've got here. Some of y'all don't even know what Duke means. A reverse, and here's why I call it, a reverse exorcism had just taken place. The demon had driven the exorcist off. Are we coming full circle now? All right. Now, the name of Jesus has no magical incantation Although when you cry out to Him, He'll come running. When you call on Him, He'll answer. Bible tells us that. The Lord will drive out the demonic, but the Spirit only works through those who know Him and are surrendered to Him. And what was true then is still true today. Jesus is still able to heal people of Satan's tricks and his demonic works. You call on Him, He's still able to take care of things. Now, that picture, can you see these guys bruised and bleeding and bloody? I mean, and they're naked and they're running out of the house. And that demon, that man standing there on the front porch, uh-huh. Prevailing ministry. Look at verse 17. This is what's great about this passage. The climate and atmosphere that Paul's now preaching in is awesome. It is awesome. Verse 17 reveals that there's conviction now. Look at verse 17. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. In other words, everybody heard about it. Well, duh. I bet everybody did hear about it. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. I mean, conviction fell on the whole city. I just thought about it. You remember when God killed Ananias and Sapphira? The Bible says great fear fell upon Jerusalem. You remember that? God wanted His people to understand how serious sin is in the life of a believer. And now God wants, I think, Ephesus to understand how serious sin is in the life of an unbeliever. And so there's conviction. And there was great awe and respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. His name was magnified. And you know, I don't know how you're praying for Clarksville, Tennessee and Montgomery County, but I'm praying that the Lord Jesus might be exalted and magnified in this town we live in. That something would happen in such a powerful way, a stirring, that something might take place that would be so great. Like today, man, if you follow any kind of athletics, you know that Kobe Bryant passed away today, and his daughter in a helicopter accident. I don't take that back. It wasn't an accident. Everybody's got an appointment date. And none of us know when it is. And I mean, news traveled just like that. I had several, Billy texted me, texted me, and then James Merritt texted me, and some others tweeted me, and Isaac walks in here and he said, "Dad, you hear about Kobe Bryant?" It gripped my spirit this afternoon when I first heard it. LeBron James last night just took over third place in total career points scored. And guess who was in third place? Kobe Bryant. Kobe was 41 years old. And the first thing I thought of, did he know Jesus? Did he know the Lord? I'm praying that something might happen. I sure don't want a death. But that such conviction would fall over Clarksville, Tennessee and Montgomery County that Jesus Christ would be magnified and glorified. Wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be a great thing for us to pray for during revival, by the way. Verse 17 is about conviction, and verse 18 is about confession. Also, many of those who had practiced magic through their books together brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled how much? 50,000. Now, many of these Christians had come out in verse 18, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. A lot of these folks had come out of this background of witchcraft and sorcery background of magic spells and astrology and the cult. And so they now come forward confessing their deeds. You know, one of the most surefire positive things to know if somebody has been born again is they come clean about their sin. And they begin to make it right with people. And they go back and they try to... you remember, who was it in the New Testament that got saved? And Jesus said, you need to make things right. You remember who that was? Somebody said it? Zacchaeus. He went back and repaid everybody he'd stolen from. And so that's what's going on here now. Confession. And verse 19 talks about their commitment as a sign that they had forsaken their former lifestyle. What did they do? They brought their books and their collections, their magic spells, their incantations, their Ouija boards, their horoscopes, and other questionable materials, and burned it all at great personal expense. One silver coin back in those days was worth a day's labor, a day's wages for a laborer. And by today's standards, what you're talking about here is somewhere around $15 an hour, which works out to be around $6 million. Breaking the power of the demonic in your life calls for something radical. Now, if you're demonically oppressed, it may be that you need to do something radical like this. And I don't understand everything, but what I can tell you is what many of us oftentimes need to do is make a clean break, completely abandon those things that have a hold on us. Is there anything that has a hold on you? I hear so many people today talking about, my daughter, she's fasting from Facebook. Fasting from Facebook. Because it's getting to be an addiction. And anything that has that potential to bind you up and to enslave you and put you under bondage, bless God, I don't care how good it is, we need to get shed of it and make a clean break with it. Quit looking back. Do you hate your sin enough to change and to do something about it? That's what these folks are doing, isn't it? And there was a change. Look at verse 20. Ooh, I love this. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. There was a soul-saving, demon-defeating, life-transforming power that came over that city in the person of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. People were amazed and were in awe at how awesome God was, at the things that were happening. The gospel was spreading and going forth in great, great power. Our Savior was glorified. The saints of God were edified and Satan was horrified. Isn't that what needs to take place here in Montgomery County? Isn't that what needs to take place at Second Mile Church? Have mercy. We need a reverse exorcism. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And Lord, you have not changed, not one iota. You are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it is not your purpose, it is not your plan, it is nowhere, anywhere in and under your authority for your people to be enslaved by anything. That is not what you want for us. And tonight, Lord, while all of us may not be demonically oppressed, it may be that Our own flesh has us enslaved. And we need to let go of some things. As that scripture that I read, quoted this morning, that we need to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. I don't know what it is, God, tonight, but I sure know this. I sure want to see the Lord Jesus magnified in Montgomery County. And I sure want to see the Word of God and the Gospel go forth in power. And I want to see You glorified in this place. And God, it's got to begin with us. It's not going to begin with a lost world. It's got to begin with us. And so tonight, Lord, tonight, as You're here, just ask God if there's anything in your life, anything that He's not pleased with. Just ask Him. Just ask the Lord. Is there anything I need to let go of? Anything I need to get shed of? Lord, is there anything that's keeping me from Your best? Father, I want my life to glorify You.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.